Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
The Long Box Guy's gonna do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are my very good friends and my very, very optimistic, friendly, jovial, nice friends, whom I've known since I was a very little kid. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing pretty good, and I'm drinking one of the lighter beers from Treehouse, a pale ale called Lights Out. It's pretty good. Lights.
Uh-huh. Flash, flash, flash. Uh-huh. Lights Out. One of my three favorite masturbation songs. That's what it's about, right? I'm pretty sure. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, Tom. I'm drinking some Glenmorangie tonight, and it is delicious. What are you drinking?
First off, not how that's said. And second, I am drinking Thompson's scotch. It is delicious. And Mike, I see you're still training for a marathon.
So, Tom, how is it said then?
I have no idea. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to call you wrong and move on.
No, Tom, how is it said?
Is that a Michelob Ultra there, Mikey?
It is a Michelob Ultra. When you want to be a drunk bastard, but not a fat drunk bastard, Michelob Ultra.
Ah, nice. Delicious. You know what else was delicious to me? Birds of Prey, the fabulous emancipation of Harley Quinn. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. We're going to go over it. We're going to talk about some of the highlights. We're going to talk about the many, many characters, some of the fun little Easter eggs that you guys might have seen in there. And we're going to be as kind as we can.
Yeah.
Even though some of us have a diametrically opposed idea of what this movie was supposed to even be. Margot Robbie should get an Emmy just for the way she mourned the death of her beloved Sandwich. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about the death of her Sandwich. And a couple of other spoilers, too. Yeah,
it did look like a good sandwich.
You know, oddly, that they did make that sandwich look goddamn delicious.
Oh my god, I was so hungry.
Yeah, that sandwich looked fucking good.
Yeah.
So,
a good breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, it's a good looking breakfast sandwich. So, in a nutshell, this is a movie that is about Harley Quinn breaking away from the Joker. The Joker is only seen in a couple of quick little flashbacks. It centers all on Harley Quinn and the other members of the Birds of Prey. Some great characters from DC. Kind of changed around a little bit, rebooted in a couple different ways. The characters ranged all the way from The Question, Renee Montoya's, to Harley Quinn. We had the Huntress in there, or the Crossbow Killer, kind of depending on who you believe. Who else do we have in there? Black Canary, kind of. Anybody else?
You had Black Mask and Victor Zsasz. Two main bad guys.
I did not like that portrayal of Victor Zsasz.
Whoa, we don't diss what we hate on this podcast.
Yeah. I thought the Victor Zsasz on the Gotham one was a little bit better.
Do you want to get into what we didn't like about it, or what are we going to do? How are we going to do this?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we talk a little bit about what we like and what we didn't like?
First, why don't we just give our overall impression? So on a scale of 1 to 5, what do you guys
think? What? 1 to 5?
I'm sorry, 3 to 18. Well, I don't know. I'm drunk.
Yeah.
On a scale of 3 to 18, what are you giving it, Tom?
I'm going to give it a solid 14. A solid 14. I mean, it wasn't a great movie. It's not like one of the movies I'm going to go back and see a bunch of times. But I did enjoy myself. I ate my popcorn. I ate my burrito that I snuck in. I laughed at a bunch of scenes. I loved some of the fighting scenes. But was it terrific acting? And did I like what they did with every character? No, I did not. But I still had a great experience at the movies. And the worst end credit clip of all time.
Josh, what did you give it?
I'm going to go with a 7.
Whoa. That means you actually hated it.
I definitely did not like the film.
Okay. Well, all right. Tommy, what about you, Barley?
You know, I'm going to give it a 12. I'm going to give it a double 6. I like the film.
So you liked it better than Bibble.
It was enjoyable. Was it the best film ever? No. But it was enjoyable. Was it a classic? No. Do I need to go buy this film? No. But it was enjoyable. It had what looked like a delicious sandwich in it.
I find it interesting that you're like, it was enjoyable. I'll never watch this piece of shit again, but it was enjoyable. I don't know if you understand what enjoyable is.
I didn't say I would never watch this piece of shit again. If it came on a streaming service that I already am subscribing to, I would watch it again. But I don't need to go buy the DVD.
You would never pay to see it again. But if it was on TV or somewhere where you could just watch it for free, you would sit down and waste 2 hours of your life, is what you're saying.
I might waste an hour and 45 minutes. I might do another activity while watching it in the background.
All right. That's fair.
Mikey, let's hear a number, buddy.
Oh, I'm right with Josh. 7.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I would have gone 8 or 9.
And I can tell you.
Together, it's a 14.
I can tell you why it's a 7, because Chad Stahelski's fight scenes give it 5 points for me.
Some of those fights were a lot of fun, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give it an 8. I'm going to bump it up because the fight scenes and the sandwich. Okay. The fight scenes and the sandwich give it an 8 for me.
The sandwich got it to 7 for me.
Which is weird because, you know, I liked Green Lantern.
You did.
Something has happened. I've become wicked jaded. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I think it was a Green Lantern movie.
No, you know what it was?
That green jaded.
I think I'm jaded is because I've seen so many good superhero movies that I expect a certain quality now. Whereas when the Green Lantern movie came out, I was just happy to see somebody with a green ring flying in space.
There was a time when we saw Captain America wearing a face mask, driving a motorcycle with a hang glider on it, and we were happy. We were happy to have it. And it was kind of chubby.
We thought out such a movie because that's all we could find.
And he was kind of chubby, and he didn't look good in the costume, and he threw bad punches, but we were still grateful to have it. So I think I understand what you're saying. Maybe we are experiencing a dearth of superhero movies that are just so unbelievably good that when we get one that's not so good, we kind of trash a little bit. So let's go over some pluses and some minuses. I thought Margot Margot Robbie was delightful.
She was.
I always enjoyed seeing her. Her acting wasn't exactly Oscar-worthy, but it has been in the past.
How dare you, sir?
How dare I?
The pain on her face when she lost that sandwich. I felt that emotion.
I believe I would have the same reaction if I dropped that sandwich.
The goofy smile she had on her face when she kept stabbing Victor's ass with the dart pen killed me. I love that. Just stabbing him 9 times. So what do we think about some of the other characters? How about Black Canary?
Well, can we go back to Harley Quinn? I think
for me,
obviously she's the main character in the movie, despite it being the Birds of Prey / the Fantabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn. She is the main character, and one of the problems I had with the movie is because she's a sociopath, and she's an asshole. to everyone in the beginning of the movie. Even though she's not willing to gut a child to get a diamond, that only elevates her slightly above the bad guys in the movie. She's the main character. There's nothing likable about her. Unless you guys saw something, what did you like about her, the character herself? What did she do that made you think, oh, I can connect to this person?
All right. Well, Mike, first off, she was really dedicated to that breakfast sandwich. I mean, you got to admire that.
Which she didn't pay for.
She was only short 75 cents. I wrote it
down. She paid for most of it.
Yeah. You know she wasn't going to pay that guy.
Look, but she paid for most of it. I mean, but she was dedicated to that sandwich. She was committed to that sandwich relationship.
I'm going to stop you right there, Tom. Just because I want to. I saw a little bit of a hero's journey. It was slight. It was subtle, but it comes from this angle. When she first started out, she was just out to have a good time at anyone else's expense. She didn't care what she was doing to hurt anyone else. Then she started seeing the consequences of what she was doing and how it affected her. That's not the hero's journey. That's just self-preservation. But at the going forward, when she sees how much harm she's done and she sees all the bad guys outside and she decides they all have to work together, you start seeing a little bit more of that hero's journey.
Self-preservation. Just like you said, it's still self-preservation. But continue. I'm sorry.
That's all right. There was some self-preservation because she didn't run out of the fight scene. She didn't really have to go after the kid at the very end. They had already taken that. She could have stayed with the other girls and let Black Mask cut the kid open. They could have called it even, but she still kills Black Mask and still saves the kid.
And she took care of the kid when it was all over.
Well, the kid had the diamond.
To raise a kid as a psychopath of her own. I guess.
So I saw a little bit of a growth there. Plus, she liked her hyena, Bruce.
Yeah, can we talk about the hyena, Bruce?
You got to kill no one.
First of all, way to blow your budget on CGI that does nothing. Second, she's supposed to have two hyenas, Bud and Lou.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go with Bruce, you should have just gone with Bruce and Tim, because her creator's name was Bruce Tim and Bruce Wayne and Tim Drake, the Robin. And she could have just said in a throwaway line that only us comic book nerds would get, that's Bruce and Tim. I named them after my friends from work.
That would have been great, actually.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one. They could have just had my old dog Pesky stand in for those stupid hyenas. They didn't have to spend $100 billion on CGI.
I did think the gopher or the beaver was good. The beaver's right out of the comic books.
It was a great nod to the comic book. I did like every time somebody was coming after her, the whole consequence bubble of why that person was coming after her. I thought that was nice.
That was a fun effect. I didn't mind that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Make or break a movie for me, but
it was nice.
The elements of the movie, I don't think they did a great job with. I think Mike has described this before. There was maybe a little too much exposition and let's include people in things that we didn't need to really know. You just could have shown on screen. We all just carried on. I really felt like 30 minutes of that film was explaining the film to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really shuffled that time deck.
Yeah, and so telling us that it's a stereotype cop drama and this is just lame and horrible is not pithy in any way. It's literally telling the audience, you're really stupid, and we're going to do the exact same trope every other movie does. Ha ha ha. Look how clever we're not.
And by the way, she wasn't doing that many tropes. She was Renee Montoya? She could have spit out a million more stupid cop tropes. I'm sorry, we're talking about something else?
You're talking about Renee Montoya. I thought you were talking about Harvey Bullock, who was named Renee Montoya in this film.
Yeah, that
because that's the character Rosie Perez was playing.
And you know what? If she was Harvey Bullock, that would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I like
Rosie Perez. I think she did a decent job acting in this movie, given what she was given. But I just didn't think it was the role for her.
What was the point of her being in the movie?
They wanted a question. They wanted to fill out some of the Birds of Prey. And I know
Rosie Perez being in that movie.
It's like lettuce on a sandwich. You just want to make the sandwich look bigger.
But we all like the question, though. Someone goes,
"We like the question," but she wasn't the question.
I know. Someone at some pitch meeting was like, "We should put the question in there. The question's very popular. It's a nice twofer when it comes to diversity."
It would have been nice if she was actually playing the question.
Yeah, that's a very different character, the question Renee Montoya, than the character she was playing. Now that you say it, I do see a lot more shades of Harvey Bullock there. I didn't really catch that sous-salt until you brought it up.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Now that burning ash is in my mouth.
Now can we talk about Drax the Destroyer? I mean the Huntress.
I mean the crossbow killer.
Guys, I don't see the Drax name, but go ahead, Mike.
I don't get social interaction at all.
Drax got social interaction. He didn't get subtleties.
Yeah, and neither does she.
She didn't get anything.
Yeah.
And I love the actress, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, right? Is that how you say her last name?
Maybe.
Sure, why not? Yeah. Ramona Flowers.
Love her.
Yeah. I love her. I think she's great. And I think the character has a lot of potential. But the way that they played her was kind of just a one, ha-ha, look, she can't get out her line because she's awkward because she witnessed her whole family get murdered in front of her. Oh, that's so amusing. She's psychologically damaged.
Which is not really the Huntress character at all.
At least I got her origin right.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I got a weird question about Cassandra Cain.
You mean the person whose origin they murdered in this movie?
Yeah. That threw me the most. I mean, that makes not much sense at all to me. Can anyone put it into a timeline that I can digest? Does it follow any of the origins, or is this totally new?
They were like, we need a plucky child, because, you know, that's what all movies need is a plucky child.
Right.
How about Cassandra Cain? That's a name from the DC universe.
Of we a plucky child raised in assassin for instance birth. let's use that name.
Do you remember the scene in the police station where she was like, and she couldn't talk for a second? Was that some kind of weird nod to the fact that the other character was mute?
Sure, why not? Let's go with that. As if anybody had read any of Cassandra Cain's books.
It was a weird scene where she couldn't talk for a second, and I'm like, are they just trying to make it so that like we go, oh, I see what you're doing there.
So from a comic book geek perspective, they butchered Cassandra Cain, and if they had just called her and they wanted Harley to use a DC character, they could have called her Holly Robinson. For those of you who aren't aware, in Batman Year One, Catwoman has a little sidekick who's a pickpocket named Holly Robinson. And that would have been perfect because she could have just been like, you could have actually had Catwoman in the movie rather than Renee Montoya, and that would have made a lot more sense if you had Holly Robinson as the pickpocket. Yeah, you know?
That's true.
But, I didn't think the actress was horrible, although she got over killing people really quickly. Did I just blow someone up? Yeah. All right.
Well, you know, you're young. You get over things quick.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's called compartmentalization, Mike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and she swallowed that diamond. Apparently, that diamond did not have any sharp edges on it. So that's good.
It's good. She went right through her.
I would have appreciated it more if she pulled out a condom.
Not debate this point at all.
And put it in the condom.
Not debate this point because of one thing.
That's right. I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. Not going to say his name. But that's what Malik the Thief would have fucking done.
Because
I was trying to save it, but Josh brought it out of me.
And you're wrong, because Malik wouldn't have got fucking caught.
He wouldn't have gotten caught. You're right. But he would have swallowed the diamond, because that's a smart thing to do. She was watching The Greatest Thief of All Time and knew what to do. Swallow the diamond. Get it later.
Yeah. Yep.
Damn it, Josh. I was trying to...
I knew it was coming. As soon as I saw that scene, I was like, this is...
That's
this,
right. Tom loves...
Tom loves this movie, because that little girl is Malik the Thief.
All right, so we've covered the Birds of Prey, right? That's all of them. Now we should move on to the villains. Let's talk Victor Zsasz, the sidekick for the Black Mask, or as I like to call him, his little gay lover.
Yeah, Zsasz, what was light. That?
Yeah, I don't know.
Victor Zsasz is supposed to be one of the scariest serial killers, and I understand the fear of the other. When you... We've gone over this before when it comes to stereotypes. You know, making a character the other, like gay or bisexual, to add a layer of villainy to it is a trope that I didn't think was ever going to play again. But here they do it with Victor Zsasz, who is supposed, you know, he's not an effete person who is someone's sub. He is, you know, one of the greatest serial killers, one of the most prolific serial killers in DC history. He should have been a lot scarier. He did a lot of weird affectations that I just didn't get.
So
yeah, I only think of that guy from the TV show The Newsroom. Is that like
that's
that
what my wife said? She's like, hey, the Newsroom can't be a killer.
I was like,
he's an
I can't take this guy seriously at all.
So the reason they have Victor Zsasz as Black Mask henchman is because there was a storyline where Black Mask hired Victor Zsasz, but the reason he hired Victor was so Victor could perform mass murder for him and cause a whole bunch of mayhem. He wasn't a mafia goon as he's depicted in both in the TV show Gotham and in this movie.
Yeah, Victor Zsasz just like killing people.
Yeah, he really likes killing people.
It was a disease. You infect a city with him and you watch it die. That's what Victor Zsasz is for.
Yeah.
We really should have used him overseas.
What did you guys think about Black Mask?
Now, I had a lot of fun with Black Mask. Every time he was on screen, I was enjoying him.
Yeah, did he not wear the black mask all that much?
Why are you going to hire Ewan McGregor and put him behind a mask? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Look at that face. I wanted to kiss him every time he wasn't being evil.
I am surprised he wasn't fatter because he was chewing up every scene he was in.
Oh, my God. He ate the scene. That good call, Mikey. The scene where he makes the girl get up on the table and dance, and he's just so villainous, so evil. Oh, I loved it.
I feel like he was in a different movie than everyone else with his level of evil. Like, it's supposed to be a fun, hey, it's a wacky kind of campy throwback to, like, Batman 66 kind of vibe. Except when Black Mask is there, because then he's, especially that scene where he's debasing the girl who was laughing, not even at him, at a joke. Yep. He wouldn't even fucking let her tell.
Yep.
That's just rude.
He wouldn't let her friend Paul tell.
Yeah. Well, Paul's
I've seen
a
this
dick.
Movie like three times.
So I think we can all agree that Paul's a dick.
Well, if you get up on a table and start cutting off your girlfriend's dress, you're a dick.
Yeah.
You got a knife in your hand, buddy. Just go for it. Fuck it. It's going to be a horrible weekend either way. Go for it.
We forgot one of the Birds of Prey. We forgot Black Canary.
Did we? No.
Why should we be any different than the writers?
They really did not give her due. She's the daughter of Diana Lance. They briefly go into her backstory as her mother was killed, helping the JGCPD do something. Renee Montoya says, that would never have happened on my watch. And she believes her for some reason. They don't go enough into how she became the daughter of a very well-known superhero to living in a shitty slum. That's a pretty big fall from grace.
Her mom was killed. And she was left
on
her own.
You know what? You would think Superman would remember, wait, Diana had a fucking child. Batman, fucking Bruce Wayne doesn't remember that Diana Lance had a fucking child. You know, toss her a couple goddamn bucks. Seriously.
You don't have her work for someone other than a criminal mafia figure?
That was the worst part for me.
So here's why she was good. Because her fight scene was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And her voice is magnificent. I thought she was perfectly cast to play Black Canary. It's just a shame that they wasted the Black Canary storyline with the drivel that they gave her. She deserves better, and she didn't get it in this movie. But I thought the actress who played her was phenomenal. And she can do really high kicks in tight pants.
In tight pants, which is hard.
Yeah, it's super
hard.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. I always remember that actress from...
from what?
Damn it. It's a movie.
It's great memory.
Yeah, I'm killing it over here.
Is it a rom-com or is it a fight scene?
No, it's a dramatic story about
Schindler's List.
All-black debate team in
The Great Debaters.
The Great Debaters, thank you.
You're welcome.
She was fantastic in that. It's always what I remember the actress from. I think she was a good casting for Black Canary. I think they completely undersold Black Canary as a combatant. And maybe this is supposed to be early Black Canary, but still completely undersold as a combatant. And yeah, just Black Canary, I think, is one of the, for me, one of the more iconic DC characters that I really enjoy. And I think she was sort of sidecast in this movie in a way that I think I would have rather just seen her get her own movie at some point than be thrown into the mix here.
You know what would have been great is if they had a Birds of Prey movie about the Birds of Prey. Oracle, Black Canary, Huntress. It would have been phenomenal. Unfortunately, instead... we got a Harley Quinn movie with the Birds of Prey thrown into it.
All right. For juxtaposition, Josh, you're the only person I know that bought the Birds of Prey DVD box set. How does this – it's true. I know. I've seen it. Sure. I've been meaning to borrow it, actually, because there's at least a few episodes I haven't seen.
It was on the DC app for a while. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah.
Is that the what?
At DC Universe app? Online.
Oh, so I don't have to borrow it from you. Fine. Fuck off. But how does it hold up?
The Birds of Prey TV show was dramatically bad, but in a campy way that made it somewhat enjoyable. This was the over the top, but it was over the top in a way that I actually didn't enjoy, where it was just I think Mike sort of outlined it right at the beginning that there's not enough to like here. There's not enough personality to like here. There were characters. There was a storyline. But at the end of the day, did I really like any of the characters all that much? No.
So what we did like, we all agree the sandwich was phenomenal.
Sandwich
and
scene was
the
great.
Fight scenes were excellent because frickin' Chad Stahelski did the fight scenes.
Technically, no.
Well, they brought him in to...
He was the second unit director. Yeah,
yeah,
so...
He was brought in to punch him. He's like Patton Oswalt. Hey, we got this shitty movie. Make it funnier. I'll do my best.
I got to tell you, though, I thought the fight scenes were very good because much like John Wick, they pull back and let you watch the fight scene as it unfolds rather than just doing constant cutaways, except for I love the tent where they're in the funhouse and they're having the battle in there just because of the shit Harley Quinn is doing in the background.
She's got some good things going on that trampoline.
Yeah.
And when did she have time for a shoe change?
Exactly.
That killed me.
That was good.
Yeah.
And when she added a Black Canary hair tie? Oh, thanks. Love that. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, if they wanted to make a wacky Harley Quinn movie, they should have just gone with a wacky Harley Quinn movie and fucking put her up against, like, Batmite or Ambush Bug or, somebody like that.
I mean, definitely, like, Condiment King could have been in this movie, and I wouldn't have blinked.
Or I got a crazy idea. It's about her emancipation from leaving the Joker.
Maybe
the Joker in and show us her trying to break away from that relationship and going out
like the cartoon does.
Yeah, which is
I fucking still love.
That's the problem. I think the main problem with the movie is that it wants to be as good as the cartoon, and it's not even close. The cartoon is so good, and I fucking hate Harley Quinn, but I love the goddamn cartoon.
Harley Quinn.
Because she's a sociopath who murders people. She's not a hero. She's not an anti-hero.
Fine. She's still charming.
Yeah, the film never planted its feet somewhere that was reliable, right? Either they were going completely goofy or they were going serious, or you just never knew what was going to happen. And I never thought it was cohesive enough, and I don't think I enjoyed any of the – or even had a chance to know. Like, if you weren't a DC fan, you had very little chance to identify the rest of the Birds of Prey in this film.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. All right.
So what did you guys – like, Josh and I have already expressed what we didn't like about it. Well, what did you guys like? Name some things that you were like, yeah, that was great.
Like, when I watch a Fast and the Furious movie, I'm not watching for great acting. I'm not watching for dramatic scenes, and I'm not watching to be moved or even for character development. I'm looking to have a little bit of fun. And I had some fun in this movie when Harley Quinn is attacking the police station with the beanbag gun that shot sparkles and confetti and terrorizing people. I had a great time. I thought that was hilarious. When she's fighting the other guys in the next room, that was great too.
Why was she using a beanbag gun so she wouldn't kill the cops?
Well, you know what? Every single cop in Gotham hunting you down because you murdered a bunch of cops. I know it's all bad reasons, almost as bad. And, of course, you're not going to get – if you shoot a cop with a beanbag gun, you're still going to be charged with assault with a deadly weapon. You know why? Because you can easily kill a guy with a beanbag gun. It's not even lessening the charge. But in our minds it is. So it's a movie. Fuck off. It's a movie and we're thinking to ourselves, oh, she didn't really kill all these cops. She shot him with a beanbag. Three of those guys obviously had heart attacks when she shot him in the chest. That's still fine with me.
What kind of prison cell has a back door to the evidence room?
What kind of prison cell doesn't have a drainage system so there's 2 inches of water on the floor so when she does that cool flippy kick? Shut up.
Where did you find beanbag rounds for an M249?
I can find beanbag rounds for an M249.
Where'd you find confetti rounds?
40 the millimeter.
Confetti rounds were tougher.
40 millimeter.
She went down to Michael's and she got the glitter and she made her own rounds.
The beanbag rounds you can actually buy. It's stuffed
not
up with
buy confetti. A 40 millimeter grenade round.
In Gotham, you can.
And you can buy the beanbag round if you have a cop's license
for
to get
a shotgun. Yes. Not for a 40 millimeter grenade.
Let's suspend disbelief on that part.
All right. Okay. Let's agree that I'm right.
All right. What else did you like?
I liked all right. So she does a whole bunch of cocaine and then fights a motorcycle gang. I love that.
I love that in the Deadpool movie also.
Yeah.
That was great in the Deadpool movie.
Which Chad Stahelski also did stunts for Deadpool and Deadpool 2. So.
It was quite an enjoyable movie, wasn't it, Deadpool?
Yeah, I like Deadpool.
Did somebody say Deadpool?
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 Deadpool. Anyway.
Deadpool. fine. I mean, I just enjoyed eating my popcorn, watching the fight scenes, and cheering on the almost good guys.
LT, what about you? What did you like about the movie other than the fucking sandwich?
God damn, that was a good fucking sandwich.
You know, so the sandwich is his iPod for this movie, right? He's not going to fucking let go of the sandwich.
There wasn't a fucking iPod. You know,
I mean, it was a lighthearted movie, except for when Black Mask was on the scene. And it was just, you know, it was just kind of a lighthearted film that was kind of enjoyable. You know, like I said, it's not going to be a classic, but it is going to be something that you can just throw on a Saturday afternoon and watch while you're folding laundry and doing shit.
Do you remember that lighthearted film where we watched that kid get her face peeled off because she had a snot bubble coming out of her nose?
Good times, man. Good times. Good times.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good times. But, you know, on the flip side, do I think it had any business being called Birds of Prey? No, because the Birds of Prey were only in like 20 minutes of the last part of the film.
Really? Where was Oracle? Did I miss something?
Not all of them. Not even all the Birds of Prey were there.
All right.
But, you know, was it a Harley Quinn movie? Yes.
And I like Harley Quinn.
So here's how I could improve the movie instantly.
Oh, introduce, this movie would have been improved a dozen times over.
Introduce Oracle, who was fucking crippled by the Joker, and make the Joker the main bad guy. And now Harley Quinn, who was involved in paralyzing Barbara Gordon, they're trying to recruit her to get her the information so that they can, the Birds of Prey can take on and take down the Joker.
I like that. I'll go with that.
That would have been a good storyline, and you could have even had them have to run through Black Mask and ramp that, never see the Joker in the film, and ramp it up for a sequel to see if it was up the flagpole and people liked it.
Oh, yeah. Like the Huntress. I'll help you. But first, we have to do what I need to do. Oracle. We need her. We got to do what she wants to do. We'll never get the Joker. All right. We'll help you. This shit writes itself, Mikey. You're a genius.
Yeah. Mikey is a genius.
He is. And good looking.
I got to say, Mike, you know what? If I had one wish, one wish, as it relates to every DC movie, every DC film ever made, it would be that you would be the technical advisor.
That's right.
If I had two wishes, it would be for one long extended orgasm to start on the first of the month and end on the 30th.
If I had two wishes, Mikey, one, it would be that DC hired to make these movies, and two, it would be that they take that damn Green Lantern movie and destroy it. Oh, I'm sorry. I went a little too far, didn't I?
Yeah. If I had three wishes, Tom, my first wish would be Mike would be the technical advisor. The second wish would you would have one continuous orgasm from the 1st to the 30th of every month, even February when there aren't 30 days. It's fucking magic. And my third wish would be that LT gets his other wishes.
If I had four wishes.
Four wishes.
Four wishes.
Terrible.
I would wish that Josh would get his wish that I would be able to consult on all the DCU movies. And with my second wish, I would wish Tom would get his second wish where he could orgasm from the start of the month to the end of the month for 30 days, even in February when there's only 28 days because it's fucking magic. And if I had a third wish, I would wish that LT would get his wish. I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure it was goddamn important. And if I had a fourth wish, I would wish that everybody subscribed to our Patreon.
Aww.
Aww. That's nice, Mikey.
And you know what? If Harley Quinn had a sandwich, that would have been the best part of the movie.
She didn't get her sandwich at the end. That was nice.
It is.
But speaking of Patreon, how can they subscribe to our Patreon? I'll tell you, Mikey. They can subscribe to our Patreon by going to patreon.com/maybe/ I can never remember. The Longbox Guys. And for a mere $1 a month, you get an extra podcast every single week. Yeah. And you get to help us get out to our conventions, put out this podcast, and keep you guys informed about everything happening in the great world of comic books, movies, television, and everything to do with comic books.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
That being said, I think we're done trashing our good friend Harley Quinn. Mike, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have Harrow County. If you guys have not read it yet, I really suggest you go on to Comixology Unlimited and check it out. It is one of the best horror comics that is currently out there in the market. Have you read it, LT?
I think I might have, actually. It sounds very familiar.
I figured it would be right up your alley. So I don't want to spoil too much about it. The first volume is about a girl who is being haunted by a tree, and it turns out that her dad was involved in the horrible murder of a witch, and it is just super creepy. And one of the main characters is literally a bag of skin that talks to this little girl, and it is hellish and nightmarish in all the good ways. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, a bag of skin. So you had me a bag of skin.
If you like Hellblazer, this is right up your alley, right? It's along the same story, except where Hellboy. Excuse me, Hellboy. It's around this. It's like Hellboy, but it's a longer, continuous story rather than a bunch of short stories like Hellboy. Colin Bunn does a great job writing the horror.
I like Colin Bunn.
And Tyler Crook is the artist for that. And it is also, his artwork is commensurate with a horror comic. It's good.
Tommy, what do you got the old back of the long box, sir?
Well, I finally finished No Man's Land. And those damn discs that Batman had Catwoman steal were to prove that Lex Luthor was trying to steal Gotham City from out and under the Gotham City people that had fled Gotham for civilized world when the earthquake happened.
Wait.
But anyway.
So let me get this straight. Batman had all the evidence on Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Rather than stopping his plan, he let his plan happen so he could then send Catwoman to get the evidence that he had already gutted against Lex Luthor?
Well, he had the original. He had copies of the original records from the land management records.
So, right. He had all the evidence before Luthor's plan happened. And rather than stopping it, he waited.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
No Man's Land, you say. Sounds like a great series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the individual books were great. Like I said, the overall arching plot, I was like, really? Really? I don't know that it would go down that way. But there's another comic book I'd like to talk about called The Movement, which was written by Gail Simone. It lasted for about 12 issues as part of the New 52.
Gail Simone? I didn't know she wrote very many comics.
What?
What else?
I'm thinking of someone else. I'm sorry.
You are definitely thinking of someone else.
Are you thinking of Nina Simone?
I am thinking of Nina Simone.
I don't think she wrote any comics, but I do love her music.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice.
But yeah, this was by Gail Simone with art by Freddie Williams II. And this, Tom, is a very socially relevant comic. Lasted for 12 issues during the New 52. It was about a group of adolescent superpowered beings that were in Coral City and took over a neighborhood that had a bunch of corrupt cops, and they displaced the corrupt cops from the neighborhood and basically kicked out the cops and decided to self-police the neighborhood, where they handed out masks with cameras to citizens, and the citizens would watch crime and they would report it, and the superheroes would take care of it on their own terms in that neighborhood. And it was kind of an interesting book, and all of the characters had a different sexual orientation, and it was all about these outcasts, adolescents trying to make their way in the world with their different deformities and mutations and such.
Sounds awesome.
Gail Simone, by the way, if you get a chance to meet her, she is delightful.
I feel like we have met her.
I don't know if we have. I know I have.
I know I have. I met her at Pensacon a few years ago.
That's probably where we all met her then.
Probably where we all met her then. On my scale of 3 to 18, I just wanted to go over real quick one of the great drinks that we're going to be drinking in just about 3 days, the Bushwhacker. Do you guys remember that drink?
Nope.
It's the frozen drink you can only get at that one bar that's in the hotel. It's in the big frozen drink machine. I just looked it up. It's called the Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
LT, you remember that goddamn drink, right?
Oh, God.
How many of those would it take to kill you?
Not many.
Yeah, it's all sugar and alcohol. It's a diabetic's nightmare. But God damn, it's so good. Scale of 3 to 18, LT, how good is that drink?
It's pretty tasty, actually.
That's not a number, but it's a descriptor.
All right, 15.
15. Mikey, what do you got?
I got nothing. I've never had it.
You've never had a Bushwhacker?
If I have, I don't remember it. I probably have had it because we're always trashed when we're drinking at that bar, so I don't remember ever drinking anything, although I drank a lot.
All right, Josh, I pushed a Bushwhacker down your throat at that bar in
Pensacola. What was my accent afterwards?
A little Australian-ish. Do you remember the Bushwhacker, that frozy drink that we often get at that bar?
Yeah, which bar?
The bar in Pensacola, Florida,
that's in the hotel.
Oh.
It's the one frozen drink that we always like, oh yeah, we gotta get that frozen drink. They only have one blender for it. That's all they make.
I don't know.
You've had 9 of them.
Yeah, but they were the 9 last drinks of the night, Tom. So
they always are.
It's not like I can tell you really what was going on there.
That was Mike's comment, too. I'm like, I'm sure I had one, Tommy. I just don't know.
Help me out here.
All right. This year, we're going to have the Bushwhacker first.
Because we won't have that retrograde bringing a cooler of beer to the panel this year because I don't know who did it last year, but don't do it this year. Don't bring a cooler full of beer for our last Nerds Standing.
I actually think someone dragged it in for the karaoke one, but
I remember seeing that same asshole at Last Nerd Standing with that cooler and bringing it over to the karaoke right afterwards.
Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen this year, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though we do want to emphasize that if you buy us a drink, you will make it to the last round of Last Nerd Standing automatically, and we are not kidding. That happens. That's a little bit of a tangent. Sorry about that. Josh, that's your purview.
Oh, no. I'm riding the Bushwhacker train all the way out. I'm looking at the recipe for it right now. Dark rum, Kahlua, dark creme de coco, cream of coconut, milk or half and half, and ice blended and put into a hurricane glass. That does sound good.
It is delicious. It's like it always tastes like a mudslide to me. And a lot of those ingredients are in a mudslide.
It's a chocolate pina colada, essentially. And I am down for that. So in lieu of that, tangent, favorite frozen drinks.
Mudslide. Yeah, oh, right. No. White Russian.
You're wrong. Mudslide. You were right with your first answer. Go with that.
Yeah, White Russians aren't frozen.
No, I've had frozen White Russians. They're delicious.
It's not a frozen drink.
You can get them down in New Orleans all the time, a frozen White Russian.
You can put ice in anything and blend it, Tom. It doesn't make it a frozen drink. It just makes it a drink that you happen to freeze.
All right. My favorite one that I happen to freeze is a White Russian.
You're a bastard.
I am. Technically not, but still. Exactly. So, Josh, what are you saying? Mikey, you're saying Mudslide, which is delicious. I love those, too.
Yeah.
Tommy, any of these drinks will kill you.
Frozen Hurricane?
Frozen Hurricane?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Unoriginal piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just delicious. I can't drink it. It's fine. I can't drink any of that shit, Tom.
Tommy, yeah, the hurricane is all sugar, man. I wouldn't even give you one, I bet.
I know I can't drink it.
If your wife brings you one, it's a murder attempt.
I know. And that's what makes it even more desirable, Tom.
That's why she brings you one once a night every night. Josh, it's your thing. What do you got, buddy?
I'm vacillating. Well, I mean, this is sort of clippy. It's right on the edge. It's got ice cream in it. It's not quite a frozen drink.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love a good Guinness float.
Guinness float is delicious. Did you see the cannoli stout they're making?
Who?
One of the beer companies that you really like is coming out with a Mike's cannoli stout.
Okay.
So it's a Boston beer company because it's Mike's cannoli stout. That's right. And I'm like, man, a cannoli stout with a scoop of ice cream in it? Fuck me. That sounds pretty fucking good. I think it's a long something.
I don't know.
I'll find out.
I'm sure the internet can tell me right now.
Yeah, but a cannoli stout, come on now.
I have a Chris McCoy story.
Oh, good. You.
Two Chris McCoy stories, actually, both involving frozen drinks. So I had a standing rule. This was before you could get everybody had a cell phone and you could just check to see when flights were coming in. Back when you had to pick somebody up at the airport, you had no idea if the flight was going to show up on time or not. So I had a standing rule. If I'm going to pick you up, if your plane is late, you better be sober because I'm not going to be by the time you arrive because I'm going to be in the bar and I'm going to be drinking waiting for you. And McCoy flew in 4 hours late. He gets to the bar where he knows I'll be there trashed, and he is fucking lit also. We had to spend 7 more hours in the place sobering up so we could get home. And we were drinking mudslides. Oh, I had been drinking mudslides. And the reason I was drinking the mudslide is because I missed Chris. And when I was down in Charlotte living with Chris, I got a job at Ruby Tuesday. And somebody ordered a malted mudslide. And I went over to the bartender. I said, I don't know what this is, but they ordered it. The guy's like, oh, here. He makes it, and he pours what's left over into a glass and says, there you go. So I drink it. I'm like, that's delicious. He goes, I'll tell you what, as many as you sell tonight, I'll give you what's ever left over in the blender. I sold the shit out of it, and I made Chris McCoy drive and pick me up from work because I was trashed.
A mudslide is a great way of getting drunk because you never taste the alcohol.
No,
it is a chocolate milkshake that punches you in the face.
Yep. Awesome.
It's Harpoon Brewery.
Harpoon Brewery. Thank you, Josh. Cannoli stout. That's coming out real soon.
Good.
And, yeah, mudslide. Maybe chocolate mudslide is my favorite.
So let's raise a glass to Chris McCoy.
Goddamn right. Every time. Love that boy.
Mwah.
We'll see you now, buddy.
Yeah, okay, Chris. Got your kid.
Josh is raising your child.
God damn it, Abby, don't listen to this podcast.
Do you want to be haunted, Josh?
Do you want to be haunted for the rest of your life?
That's how you get haunted.
Yeah. See, yeah, Tom's read Harrow County. He knows.
Damn right. Fuck around.
Oh, like the first like 10 volumes are on the Comixology shared list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was muted, and then the other thing, and then, yeah.
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 Right. Yeah, I got it.
All right, so now we know many things, what our favorite frozen drinks are, who's raising whose deceased kid's child person from Afghanistan, and that we're all going to be at Pensacola, Florida in just a couple of weeks. What?
Do you think Abby's from Afghanistan? I know you're really bad with geography because everything is just a few hours away from wherever you are.
How do you say it?
How do I say what? Where Abby's
Massachusetts?
From?
Massachusetts? I'm sorry, did I mispronounce it?
Pittsfield? Somewhere? Some field?
Pittsfield? And that'll just about do us. Let's quickly go over to plugs. I'd like to plug Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music for us. Boy, they knock it out of the park every week. And this weekend, I'll be listening to the convention song called Going Home. God, I love that song when I'm traveling to a convention. Mike, what do you got to plug?
Well, I'd like to thank GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, hosts of Pensacon's most popular after-hours event, Nerd Karaoke. And they are also purveyors of fine T-shirts, stained glass prints, stained glass period, and socks. They are the official stained glass provider to John Barrowman.
All that is 100% true. We'll be seeing them this weekend for the Geek Karaoke, and always a pleasure to see them. Some of the funniest, best cosplay merchants you're ever going to meet.
And I know this is going to be playing after Pensacon, but so those of you who are there for Tony Isabella's Cheesy Monsters, you've been fatoned, bitches!
Fatoned!
It's a joke only we get, but that's okay.
Yeah. That's only we're going to get.
And
that's
Joey.
Fine. Yeah. Joey, you know what you did.
He gets it.
If we get one Joey Fatone story out every Pensacon, I'll die a happy fat bastard.
Is he going to be there this year?
Nope.
I don't believe so.
But his photo will, because I put it into Tony's PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah. For no reason, Joey Fatone just shows up. It's going to be awesome. Fatone!
Oh, my God. We have to add that to all our PowerPoints.
Biggest monster of all.
Yes, we do. Tommy, anything to plug?
I'd like to plug Angry Johnny and the Killbillies, because Angry Johnny's still recovering from cancer. So go buy his shit on Bandcamp. Angry Johnny and the Killbillies.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is because the lap dance is always better when the strippers
go. Bad Tom.
Every time?
That's Bloodhound Gang.
Every time.
Bloodhound Gang.
Josh, what do you have to plug there, bud?
I have to plug. It's Pensacon. No, you're not going to hear this, though. But let me tell you something, buddy. You missed Pensacon.
Oof. Always such a good one.
Yeah.
What's that pub? Murphy's, right? Where we get the steaks?
McGuire's.
Oh, that steak. I try not to eat beef.
That's why you're going to get the everything burger and just throw the burger off to the side.
I am never getting that everything burger, man. That is. I can't believe how cheap and disgusting that burger is. It is two things.
It is definitely less expensive than one might imagine.
Yeah. And also disgusting. Has anyone made it? No.
Through that burger? I haven't seen it.
No.
Not me.
Give it a shot, Phyllis.
Giving it a shot.
All right. And Josh, Pensacon, we're going to be there. The bar in the hotel where you told Joey Fatone, none for you, Joey. Is that your sector?
All of Pensacon is our sector.
And Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. Got any last words for us?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but God damn it, it's the podcast you deserve.
Why do you always look like we have a gun to your head when you're saying that?
Oh, can I just say thank you to our new subscribers? We really appreciate all of you guys subscribing. And if you want to help us out, if you could rate us on whatever system that you're listening to, that would also make it easier for other people to find us. So give us a 5-star rating, even if you hate us, because that way you can spread the hate.
Doesn't cost you shit, and you can fuck up someone else's day.
But, Tom, you don't like to spread the hate, do you?
I don't, because I like to spread the love. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Thanks from the Long Box, guys. Motherfuckers are going to try to be nice.
I'm nothing but nice. I like the Green Lantern movie. You don't think I'm going to like this movie?
Even Bill, who's like one of the nicer guys I know now, Bill Keiter, didn't even like this movie.
It's because he saw it.